This is like a companion message to last Sunday. I don't take any credit for this message. This was I'm borrowed this from Charles Stanley, a very wonderful pastor who's in glory now. He was a good man, good pastor. Just really appreciate him and loved him. Never had a chance to meet him, but I sure have listened to a lot of his messages, and I just thought he was a very nice man, soft-spoken. And with God's word's the power. It's not in the deliverer. It all has to do with his word, and his word is powerful, sharp, for any two-edged sword. Father in heaven, help me to do a job in which that each and every one can benefit from this message. It's your precious word. And I know, Lord, that it will accomplish everything that you want and desire in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of the message is Strengthening Our Wavering Faith. Remember, the disciples asked if they could have their faith increased? That's a good question. I think I shared that last Sunday. They desired to have their faith increased, and it's a good question to ask. It's something that we should all want our faith to be increased. It would be great if we could all have great faith. That would be wonderful. So we want to talk about what causes. I'm going to give you three C's. We're going to talk about the causes of our faith to waver, the consequences of having wavering faith, and then we're going to have the correction. What can we do to fix it? How can we increase our faith? Our life begins with our walk with Christ, and it's a walk of faith. As I shared with you, pastors have the same walk as you have. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the problem that we often have is we try to figure things out by sight. Sometimes you have to trust God for things you don't see or you can't see. And that's where faith comes in. And I'm going to talk about that. We've got to experience it, even during the hard times. If we expect to have a full measure of spiritual blessings, of course we need to have our faith increased. I picked James. We actually had a whole topic, a whole study on the book of James. We find that James here gives us a warning about wavering faith. We're like the sea. Have you ever been to the ocean? How many of you ever been to the ocean? How many of you have never been to the ocean? Maybe that's a better question. Oh, Robert, we're going to put you in a car and get you down there. I'm telling you, it's just they make machines that if you have trouble sleeping, you can push different sounds. Crickets, water brook, ocean waves. So soothing. So soothing. Just to sit on the beach and just listen to the waves come in. Whoosh. Whoosh. I didn't realize that Tahiti had such big waves. I'd like to do a little research and see why Tahiti has such big waves. I have to do a little study in there. I don't know why that particular area has such big waves. Did you see how big those waves are? Whew. Now, them are waves. Those are waves. We won't get you there, Robert, because you won't ever want to go back if you hit those waves. Ha. Huh. Just reminded me. Your husband, Jim, wave hit him and it knocked his false teeth out. Isn't that right? Yeah, Robert, we don't want you to get you in that water. It knocked his false teeth out. Okay, but anyway, it's just, it's remarkable. God's creation is beautiful. It's amazing. Everywhere I go, I see God's handiwork. He's just amazing. Why should we rejoice when we go through trials? And I can tell you that's the hardest time to praise his name. Scotty sings a song, when everything falls apart, just praise his name. That's a hard time to do it. But James doesn't suggest that we should be joyful because of the trial. We should be grateful that God uses the trial and the difficulty and the hardship to purify us and to strengthen our faith. Adversity helps us to grow so that we can endure Do you want to endure? This is why the problems come. Endure like a good soldier. Endurance. Realize how much these athletes train for endurance. We learn to walk in faith despite what our eyes tell us, no matter how hard life gets. Will we ever be flawless? No. Simply no. Never will be flawless. Should we quit trying? No. That's where we should strive to do better. We'll never be perfect, but strive. Don't stop striving. Just keep trying to hit the goal. There's a place that just reminded me of a scripture. Don't all that run, don't they run to achieve a prize? Therefore, run to achieve the prize. What is wavering faith? Well, we just read it. It's like the ocean. Constantly changing our minds about whether God will be faithful. And those who doubt, James said, are like the ocean waves. They go back and forth between trusting and doubting, trusting and doubting, just as the waves in the ocean, trusting and doubting. And most of us, if not all of us, will occasionally have that kind of wavering faith, because sometimes we're blindsided by circumstances. One day, we'll have a time of peace, we ask God for help and with a particular need, and then yet another day we struggle to trust Him. Isn't that right? One day we're trusting, the next day we're not. Next day we're worried about what's going to happen. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. This is good. This is real easy. Trust God. I'm going to use one word. Always. Everybody say always. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to learn how to trust God. Always, always, always. And it's hard when you can't see the end of the tunnel. It's hard. But we're encouraged to trust Him always, because He has promised He would never, ever leave us or forsake us. So here's some causes why our faith wavers. Number one, we're uncertain about the will of God. That's why it's important that you study God's book to find out what His will is. And sometimes we're uncertain about His will, but He's committed to revealing us and giving us clear direction as we ask. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. So once we know His will, we can pray with complete faith, trusting His word. Secondly, human reasoning conflicts with our faith. The Christian life won't always look reasonable. Maybe you're in the midst of it right now. Why is this happening? Why did this situation arise? Why am I going through this at my age? Why? You remember Daniel? Anybody know, have an idea how old Daniel was when he was put in the lion's den? 90 plus years when he was put in the lion's den. Don't you think he probably, maybe perhaps even asked? I don't even think he even asked. When you're 90 years old, you've already passed the test for endurance. You've already passed the test. And you know what? Daniel learned to trust God. What was the word? Always. He learned to trust. Always. Even when you're 90-some years old. Our emotions and our negative thoughts get in the way, and it's easy to lead us into doubt. One morning, Peter believed catching fish was impossible. Yeah, we fished all night and didn't get anything. He heard a voice from the beach saying, if you just throw your net on the other side, you'll get fish. Oh, yeah. I'll bet that went over good with Peter. What's he mean? Put a net on the other side. What difference would that make? I mean, how wide's the boat? Look, the boat's only this wide. And I said, you just cast it on this side. Huh? Can you imagine what he was thinking? Well, probably one of the other disciples says, what would it hurt, Peter? We didn't get nothing. We might as well just do it. We can get in. Let's just try the other side. Oh, man, when they did that, they got more than they could handle. They had to holler for their helpers in another boat. Hey, we got so much fish, our boat's starting to sink. Come over and give us a hand here. Just cast it on the other side. That's what makes a difference when you hear Jesus' command. That's the difference. When he tells you to do something, don't hesitate. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful story. And it happened. It was real. Thirdly, third cause, failing to see God at work in our circumstances. When you're in the middle of your trial, it's hard to see God working because you're just focused on your problem. And so you start to develop negative thoughts. Why? Why me? But I can tell you what, the Lord works slowly, much more slowly than we expect. We want things done right away. Well, you might as well figure out why that is. We have everything instant. Today, everything's instant. You can have an instant meal. Everything's instant. Push a button, you can have it in a few seconds. And you know what? When we ask God for something, that's how we want it, a few seconds. You listen to me? Then if we don't get it, then we're pouting. Failing to see God at work in the midst of our trial. He wants us to trust him step by step without necessarily knowing the outcome. We're just to accept him and trust him without knowing the outcome. Fourthly, listening to the negative counsel of others. Boy, that won't get you very far. That's not going to work. I can tell you that right now. Listening to the negative counsel of others. You see, God has a unique plan for your life, so be careful whom you turn to for wisdom. You might be discouraged when you share it with the wrong people. What God has already ordained for your life, the path he's already chosen for you, he is guiding you. Be careful who you talk to. Number five. Focusing on the circumstance immediately comes to mind. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water. If that's you, step out, just come. Peter stepped out and he lost focus. He focused on the big wave in the water. He knew this particular area was extremely deep, maybe 150 miles. No, 150 feet. Probably the deepest part of the Galilee. He lost focus on Jesus. He lost his focus. And he sank. Jesus wasn't the only one that walked on water. Peter walked for a little bit. We don't know how far. He focused on his circumstance. And when you do that, your problem gets larger than what it really is. You see, strong faith focuses on the Father instead of on the problem. Believe what the Bible tells you rather than leaning on your own observations or predictions. Number six, being ignorant of God's ways. I would label that with the first one, God's will. Are you ignorant of his ways? How are you going to know how what God does unless you study the Bible and find out how God operates? How does he work? And then when you pray, you can say, now, Lord, I read this in such and such a book, such and such a chapter, and such a verse that says that you'll do this. And Lord, I'm going to believe that you will. That's how you do that. See, you trust, you look at God's will, read it in the Bible. This is a promise you made, Lord, and I'm going to hang on this promise. I see here where everybody that came to you was healed. You listening to me? We have diseases today that there are no known cures. No known cures. Leprosy was very much like cancer is today. Leprosy. Uncurable. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And when you find yourself in an impossible situation and you're against the wall and you can't go anywhere else, remind God of his promises. But Lord, you said, all things are possible if I only believe. And now a little bit like that fellow in the scripture, I do believe you can do this, but sometimes it's hard to believe. When I everywhere else I see, they say there's no cure for this. But I know there is with you. Because every place I read in the Bible where they came to you and they needed healing, I didn't ever see a place where you couldn't heal them. I didn't see a place where you sent them home and said, come back tomorrow, we'll see what we can do tomorrow. I never read that. I've always read that everyone that came to you, you healed them. And Lord, I'm trusting you to do that for me. That's how you use God's word. It's a promise that he gave to us. Now we're going to look at the consequences of a wavering faith. One of the consequences is you're going to miss the blessing of God. James says people who doubt won't receive anything from the Lord. God is completely faithful. He is not ignoring your life. He knows what is best for us as his children. We can't lose. Are you listening to me? I told you Christians should be the happiest people on the face of this earth. And what did I say next? Because you can't do anything that God can't want. Fix. We make bad decisions. We make bad judgments. But I can tell you God can fix it. Just admit, Lord, made another dumb mistake. Seems sometimes that's my lot in life. Open my mouth again and put my big foot in it. Now it's too late to retrieve it. I've already made a lot of damage. I'm sorry. I made the damage. Can you fix it? I know you can. Because you said you could. Can you fix it for me? We can't lose. Discover God's will and pray accordingly. Second, being blown off course by small things. Be careful. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Look for signs in the midst of your trial that he is working. Anticipate that the Father will answer your prayer. Oh, and here's a good one. In your timing? In his timing. His timing. Now, I want to tell you something. His timing and your timing is completely different. You listen to me? It's different. And when you come up here, and I told you this many times, when you come up here to the altar and you're anointed, you're trusting God to fix this situation in your life in his timing, not yours. His timing. His timing. Give him permission to do it. Lord, if it takes my entire lifetime, I'm okay with that. Just fix it. I just need to be fixed so I have a chance to see it before I leave this world. Because he'll fix it in his timing and in his way. Just keep trusting. Thirdly, being miserable instead of peaceful. That might come from listening to the wrong advice. That can make you miserable. We need to begin by trusting God. And when life disappoints us, we need to learn to not give up. The Father has something better for us. When our prayers aren't always answered as we had hoped, our Heavenly Father has something better. Well, I could give you a list of things that happened in my life. I got impatient for God. One of them is that I had a place for my mother-in-law to live, and she loved being there. I put the house up, wanted to sell the house, and couldn't figure out why God wouldn't sell my house for me. Well, he was trying to tell me my mother-in-law needed to have a place to stay. And after I seen that, I said, I'm sorry, Lord. Your way was better than mine. So how can we correct a wavering faith? It comes down to one decision. You need to resolve to trust God, the Word. Always, say it again. Always. Don't give in to the temptation to become bitter and angry or unfaithful because of life circumstances that you find yourself in. Don't focus on them. God's got a better plan he's working on. Just you be patient. Even in the middle of adversity, Job was determined to be true to God. He said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. And we need to have that same type of determination. That same determination. Though he slay me, I'm going to still trust in him. In the midst of all the problems, Lord, I love you. And I know you have been faithful to me through the years, and you'll get me through this, because I know you will. I know you will. And boy, I tell you, I've learned to pray according to God's timing now. I don't worry about my timing, because my timing's worthless. But it's his timing. Spend time reading the Bible. Spend time meditating on his promises, because it has the power to change your way of thinking. You'll become less vulnerable to the attacks of doubt because our minds are filled with scriptural truths and promises. In times of struggle, we can declare that our trust is in the living God, who is fully aware of every need we have, Philippians 4:19. In fact, you might even find it to be an adventure to look for ways the Father is providing, even during the times of struggle. Just be anxious to see what God's going to do next. God's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. Did you read that one devotional that the child had kidney cancer and we didn't have much money to begin with? Well, they were far more in debt than what they could ever dream they could be. That was in the devotional this week. It was very encouraging. Message got around. Of course, everybody knows what's going on. And they had enough money to pay the bill. And this lady was in another country. I think it was India, if I remember. God's amazing, folks. Even in the midst of your trial, you can just anticipate what he's going to do next. Because that's how wonderful he is. He loves you so very much. He loves you so very much. So here's a few questions for you to ponder. Have you ever found yourself bitter when your prayers appeared to go unanswered? On the other hand, have you been able to trust him again after suffering a big loss? Think back to a time of adversity in your life. How did the Lord use it to refine your character, to grow your trust in him, and to prepare you for his will in your life? And lastly, how is God currently using this difficulty that you find yourself in to purify your heart? How are you maturing through this situation? You know, God's after something. Be watchful. He's allowed this thing to happen. Maybe to draw you closer. Maybe your devotion to him wasn't what he was wanting or had expected from you. And that's why you're in the middle of it. Listen to what God's telling you. And here's what you should be doing. When you find yourself in the middle of a real trial, you should say, now, Lord, I remember some time ago I've had a similar case like this. And I'm just wondering, what are you after? What are you after in my life? What changes do you want me to make? What changes do you see that I should make in my life? Am I not pleasing you with what I'm doing? Is there something you want more? It's okay. Just let me know. Let me know. Because I want to make those changes. Now, I didn't used to talk that way. But now that I see and know how God works, I want him to continue to do it that way. That's okay with me. Lord, I'm here. You can use me in any way that you see fit. Just help me see why you're putting me through this. Why am I going through this trial? I want to know why. I want to make those changes that you would like to see in my life and help me to make them. Give me the strength to do it. Strengthen my faith. Because when I see you doing these wonderful things, you know it's going to strengthen me. You've done so many things for me through the years that why would I even want to change or do anything else? You've been so good to me. You've been faithful to me. Why would I ever start doubting you now? I can admit, it's a little rough right now. It's hard to go through this trial. It's tough. But Lord, I know you're going to take me through it. I know when I get in that boat, it don't matter what's going to happen between here and the other shore, because you're in the boat. It don't matter. You're in the boat. It don't matter. Maybe those disciples forgot what he said when he said, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Maybe they forgot about those words. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. In your life, you're going to the other side. So remember that. You're going to the other side. He's not finished with you yet. Ooh, glory. Praise team can come. We're going to have time to come to the altar.